The Julio-Claudian Soap Opera, Part 6, The Finale, Nero, and the End of the Julio-Claudians. Now, Emperor Nero, full name, is Nero Claudius Caesar Augustus Germanicus, and he's emperor from 54 to 68 A.D. And, of course, he is notorious for a variety of things, his musical talent, or lack of. And he played the lyre, by the way, not the fiddle. Singing. First official persecutions of Christians in the Roman Empire. Responsible for killing Peter and Paul. And his first wife, and his second wife slash mistress, and his mother, amongst other people. Now, when he first became emperor, of course, he becomes emperor as a result of the poisoning of Emperor Claudius by Nero's mother, so that he could be on the throne. That was her whole goal. There's even a story that goes that a prophecy was made to her that she would be killed and Nero would rule, and she said, well, if I have to die so that my son rules, well, that's okay. For a long time, she, Agrippina, had an incredible influence over Nero. There's even an old rumor that she seduced him to strengthen her hold on him. Whatever happens, he eventually gets tired of it, and he decides to get rid of her. They didn't just want to murder her. That was kind of cruel. So they wanted to set up an accident at sea to take care of her. So after she had been visiting Nero, she was sent back on a special ship just for her. The canopy that was over her couch and area on the deck was heavily leaded and collapsed on cue to kill her. Unfortunately, the large arms on the couches kept most of the weight off of her. So the ship was then capsized on purpose to drown her. But she managed to escape, and being a strong swimmer, made it ashore. At which point, the soldiers finally finished her off. That was in 59 A.D. Now, in the early years of his reign, particularly up until 62 A.D., the empire wasn't really run by him. Seneca the philosopher, one of his teachers and a man he admired, Nero, put him in charge. And he was also assisted by the Praetorian commander, Afranius Burrus. And that allowed him to concentrate on his singing and his music. He would give concerts in the Senate. The only downside of it is, you couldn't go anywhere. You couldn't leave until he was finished. So there were probably some dampened togas as a result of doing that. His first wife was Octavia, which was Claudius' daughter. He divorced her in 62 A.D. and then eventually has her killed in 63 A.D. to marry Poppaea Sabina. She, unfortunately, was married at the time, so he sent her husband off to a distant governorship and then messed around with her, and that's when Nero's mother got involved, and they decided to get rid of Nero's mother. She produced one child, a girl named Claudia, who only lived for 4 months. And they're together from 62 A.D. to 66 A.D. When Nero kills her, she's pregnant, and in a fit of rage, kicks her a couple of times, and she dies as a result. A year later, he married Statilia Messalina. And there were no children by then. And then at the same time, shortly thereafter, he ended up in his famous marrying of his two homosexual friends, his lover Pythagoras and his lover Sporus. Sporus is supposed to look very much like Poppaea. And I would mention this about Poppaea. The story goes that she used to keep her beauty by having baths in goat's milk. And there's an old Sword and Sandals movie from the early Hollywood era with Claudette Colbert as Poppaea, and they actually have this staged scene where she's in this swimming pool full of what looks like goat's milk. It's quite an interesting situation. The real change in Nero occurs in 62 A.D. when Burrus, the Praetorian commander, dies, and Seneca then retires. And the new Praetorian Guard commander, Tigellinus, takes over, and instead of trying to hold Nero back, he kind of encourages Nero on, and so things begin to fall apart. You begin to have treason trials. He spends lots of money, which means there needs to be taxes increased. Land is confiscated from the rich. Then you have the Great Fire in 64 A.D. I mean, of the 14 regions in the city of Rome, only four of them were untouched. The Imperial Palace complex burned down. The central plaza of the city of Rome burned down. We lose a lot of records, which is one of the reasons why Suetonius is so important, because he was one of the few secretaries prior to the fire, and he had access to the documents. Of course, the Great Fire is blamed on the Christians. No one in Rome believed that they had set the fire. Many believed that Nero had done it so that he could build his golden house and redesign the city. He was not in Rome when it started, and he returned as it burned and made every effort not only to put the fire out, but to assist the people in finding places for them to stay temporarily and providing food and other assorted things. But everyone blames him for that. And so we'll begin the first Christian persecutions. This numerology is always kind of funny, depending on how you want to manipulate things. But if you take the letters in Nero's name, and this article that I read that did this didn't say whether it was this entire name that I gave you at the beginning or variations of his name, but in Hebrew, each letter has a numerical value. Supposedly, if you added them all up, it was 666. So the Antichrist predicted by in the Bible may have been Nero, the man who began the first persecutions. There are, of course, now attempts to kill him. There's the Piso conspiracy, where a group of senators attempted to overthrow him, unfortunately, unsuccessfully. And then that was in 65 A.D., and in 66 A.D., some more senators and General Corbulo attempt to assassinate him, and that also fails. That's while he's on his grand tour of Greece, which was his highlight. He won all of the Greek music awards. Well, you know, he's emperor. He's crazy. Are you going to say no and take the consequences? But eventually, you have revolts in the provinces. The first one is by a man named Vindex. And then he starts marching on Italy, but is stopped by the army of the Rhine. And then later, Sabinus, another military commander, and a military commander named Galba, unify, and he flees. Nero flees and then attempts to commit suicide as they're getting ready to arrest him. Stabs himself in the neck. It's not really enough to kill him, so his private secretary finishes him off. And Nero's last words were supposedly, "What an artist the world is losing." It's great to look at Roman coins from the time of Nero, because you can he's pudgy with a beard on them, quite corpulent. But you will find some beautiful gold coins that survive from this particular era. So a lot of excesses associated with poor old Nero, and he has no children, and Claudius' son has been murdered by him, so the Julio-Claudians end at this point, and we'll begin to go through a variety of generals and what have you. And one of the odd things is a lot of the perversion that we're very well versed in during the Roman period, the gladiating stuff and the perversions of the emperors, of course, occur at this early time period when the empire is internally extremely strong and well run for the most part, with just a few years of bad spending by Caligula and Nero. And then later on, when the empire begins to collapse, it's the only serious problem there, of course, is the orderly succession and the barbarians. But people will continue to assume that they're just as bad at that time. So I hope you enjoyed this long, drawn-out process of going through the Julio-Claudians. Again, I highly recommend watching the I, Claudia series if you have 11 hours. HBO is doing a... this fall, 2005, is doing a series, a show on Rome. It's going to be basically I, Claudius with a lot more theatrical stuff in it. So, and of course, if you can find the British I, Claudius, the uncensored version, it's quite, you know, it's not like an X-rated movie or anything like that, but it certainly is a little bit more, a little bloodier, shall we say. Again, same books that I've been talking about before, Suetonius's 12 Caesars, Michael Grant's The 12 Caesars, and Scarre's The Chronicle of the Roman Empire. So, thank you very much, and don't forget to come by summahistorica.com. Thank you.